It has a huge effect. A recent report from Obesity Australia that used Access Economic data suggested that the burden of obesity was about $8.3 billion. And that includes costs associated with complications of obesity, things like cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoarthritis. So it would include the lost productivity as well as the direct health costs, and not just health costs but pharmaceutical costs. There are also some sort of hidden costs, so the need to get different, bigger beds, bigger chairs, bigger scales. There are lots of different things you need if you're going to see a lot of people with obesity in your practice.
Obesity places a major burden on our healthcare system, contributing to chronic conditions such as type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and stroke. You just heard from Elizabeth Denny-Wilson, Associate Professor in the Faculty of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney. Professor Denny-Wilson is part of a collaboration centre that is looking into overweight and obesity in primary healthcare settings. The centre is called Compare, and recently they have been looking at the health literacy of Australians. Health literacy is pretty straightforward. It's all about knowing your broccoli from your burgers and knowing that you probably need to exercise if you do choose to eat the latter. It's also about knowing who to see if you're not feeling 100%.
Health literacy is the knowledge and skill that we all need in order to manage our health. So it's particularly about things like the information we need in order to self-manage, stay healthy, keep fit and so on, but also to use health services appropriately and to communicate with health service providers. It's also about knowing where to get information and how to make some decisions about how good that information is, particularly in this age of the internet where there's a lot of good and bad information.
That's Mark Harris, Professor of General Practice at the University of New South Wales. He's also the director of Compare and has spent a lot of time researching health literacy. And as he has discovered, Australia's health literacy is not that great.
In 2006, the Australian Bureau of Statistics did a fairly comprehensive study on health literacy. It was based on an international measurement, and they found that 60% of people had less than ideal health literacy. They had a level of health literacy which was inadequate to be able to fully manage their own health. And they found that 20% had really poor health literacy. So, and only about, I think it was about 20% had really good health literacy. So we have got a problem with health literacy in the Australian population.
It's good to note that health literacy wasn't an idea created by a bunch of bored academics sitting in a room. Professor Harris's research has shown health literacy can impact on your life expectancy.
We've measured that. For example, there was one study that looked at elderly people and found that health literacy made a difference to how long they lived. So it's not just a sort of academic thing where it'd be nice to know some of these things. It really can have an effect on fairly basic things such as your life expectancy and your quality of life.
Compare is especially interested in health literacy because of its intersection with obesity. As we all know, genes and the environment contribute to obesity, but so does health literacy. And it's all the more apparent in low socioeconomic or disadvantaged areas. So how pronounced is the link between obesity, low socioeconomic status, and health literacy?
It's really complicated. It's the case that people from low socioeconomic areas or who are disadvantaged in some way through education or some other means are more likely to be overweight and obese. And that's not just the case in Australia, but across the world in developed countries. It's also the case that people with low health literacy are more likely to be overweight or obese. But it's not clear that you can actually say one causes the other. So there are really strong associations, but without being able to say that there's actual cause and effect.
But someone with high health literacy is not immune to the effects of obesity. Professor Denny-Wilson refers to the obesogenic environment, which tries to make us eat more than we need.
Because obesity is really a real sort of interplay between our genes and our environment, and our health behaviours, even the most health literate person can fall prey to the environment and have trouble navigating the what we call the obesogenic environment. So it's tougher for people who have low health literacy and low nutrition literacy to navigate the environment that is really trying to get you to eat as much as possible and to sit on your tail as much as possible.
The next question is, how does the front line of our medical system, i.e. general practitioners, cope with overweight and obese patients? For the vast majority of people, even those with low health literacy, a visit to the GP is at least an annual occurrence. Professor Denny Wilson says that when a patient is seeking help from a GP, for example, at an annual checkup, if weight is an issue, it should be addressed. This also means people with low health literacy can be helped earlier rather than later.
About 90% of people see a general practitioner or a practice nurse every year. So they are seeking healthcare for various reasons. It might not be to do with overweight and obesity, of course, but there are opportunities for primary care providers to raise the issue, to start people thinking about it, even at a consultation that's not directly related to weight. And there are a number of preventive care visits that are funded by the government for people who those are opportunities for general practices to actually call patients in for a preventive care visit, and that's an ideal time to chat to people about their health behaviours.
But in many cases, the patient isn't presenting to a GP because they are overweight or obese. It's the complications associated with the condition that are the main cause of complaint. Dr. Brian Morton is the chair of the Council of General Practice at the Australian Medical Association.
When a patient presents, it's often not because of their weight. Often they present to the GP with problems of joint pain, sometimes osteoarthritis if they're older, but it's also the complications of obesity and such as diabetes and cardiovascular or heart disease. So often the discussion around their weight problem are the complications related to the weight and then how to manage all of the comorbidities.
Exactly how GPs are managing the comorbidities is another arm of the COMPARE study. Professor Harris has found that some GPs struggle with how to refer patients to appropriate services.
Well, they're recognising that it's there. They're often providing some brief advice. You need to lose weight. You need to cut down on your food. Do more exercise. That's good in terms of raising awareness. But frankly, most people, particularly people who are obese, already know that. And what's needed is more than that. And so what we're falling down upon is in the kind of next step.
GPs manage health problems with the five A's: assessing people, providing advice, agreeing on goals, assisting patients with education, and arranging follow-up. Professor Harris says doctors are tripped up on the third A, assisting patients.
Often in general practice now, we're doing the assessment part okay. We're identifying that they've got a problem. We may be providing some brief advice, but that's not enough. It can be enough for something like smoking. You know, if we provide people with some assessment and brief advice and set a quit date, and perhaps give them some nicotine replacement, that can be enough for many people. For people who are obese, people who are overweight, that's usually not enough to just give advice, assess and give brief advice. They really do need something more than that. And that's where these education programs or coaching can really be important, because they give people the practical help.
Professor Harris has found that GPs don't necessarily know what services are available to help people manage their weight. And even if they do, their patients don't understand why they need to see someone else.
Part of the problem is, when we've interviewed GPs and practice nurses before, they've said, yeah, we recognise the problem. We don't have places to refer people to. So we've said, right, well, now we'll develop some programs. And so there now are some group programs, and there are these phone coaching programs available. So the next thing is, patients don't want to go. So how do I convince a patient that they need to go? And that's partly about that navigation. It's explaining why, what they're going to learn that they wouldn't learn from the GP or the practice nurse in a few minutes anyway, and also about what to expect.
In addition, the GP's own weight has a bearing on how receptive patients are to referral services.
It's difficult if you're a, you know, perfectly fit, thin person sometimes for people who are, have got a real weight problem to feel like you can understand what they're talking about. So that can be an issue. But equally, if you're hugely obese yourself, patients say, well, why? You should be doing something yourself. GPs, though, are starting to focus more on their own health and trying to build in a more appropriate diet and physical activity themselves. And so, yes, they'll talk about what's helped them. But what's helped them isn't necessarily what will help the patient in front of them.
But of course, a lot of these services are out of reach for people who come from a low socioeconomic background. Dr. Brian Morton again.
We have a system, a chronic disease management system that allows for 5 consultations with an allied health person. So the patient can choose whether to use that Medicare system of item numbers, but it is restricted to those who have particular chronic diseases. And unfortunately, obesity is not classified as a chronic disease, but rather a symptom of lifestyle.
Dr. Morton proposes more investment in primary care to reduce the strain on hospitals when complications from obesity worsen.
I think we need to have the government recognise that we want to stop patients attending hospital with complications of obesity. So we want to prevent diabetes, we want to prevent heart disease, we want to prevent the damage to joints and encourage exercise. So that means the government needs to put more dollars into primary care and more dollars into prevention. Because the stats, you know, a day in hospital is well over $1,000. A consultation at a GP is $37 if it's bulk billed. But it's certainly less than $100 for good advice to prevent further illness.
Professor Denny Wilson agrees that primary care is the place to address weight issues.
I think the preventive services that are available through primary healthcare, so the preventive care items that practice nurses and that general practitioners can offer their patients, I think they're a really important starting point, because most people do have a primary care provider, so a GP or a practice nurse, and generally they trust them, and they can at least have the assessment and the brief advice and then some discussion around referral or to maybe a free program like the Get Healthy Information Service, or maybe just a discussion with the person about where they are in terms of their weight. They might not be ready to undertake a change in their lifestyle behaviours. So it's a matter then for the GP or practice nurse to just plant the seed and let the person know that they're there when they need them.